Hi, hello. Oh, you're muted and I muted you. I'm gonna unmute you now. Hello today, Mark. How are you feeling?
I'm doing well. I don't have congos. I would congo back with you if I could.
Yeah, we're just trying to get create a drum circle with every broadcast.
Okay, I dig it. I dig it. I got a story about congos, too. My dad lived with a guy who would beat the congo drums at 3:30 in the morning, which is always... Yeah,
that's probably something my neighbors say about me. This guy's always drumming those gosh darn drums at all hours of the night. I'm not serious. They complain, but like, they're definitely more guilty of making louder noise than we make at my place.
I'm sure.
They got
until the drum circle starts, right?
Yeah, until the drum circle starts.
Yeah.
Like, man, it smells like weed around here.
It's not me, I swear.
It's somebody else.
Yeah. It's a new cologne. It's called the cannabis.
It's called Marijuana Bee.
By Ariana Grande.
So, getting a phone call and ignoring it, as one will and should. But phone over there. Let's kind of get a little bit familiar. I don't know how familiar you are with me or my show or any of my things I've ever done. Which if you're not, I totally get it.
I know you're a professional wrestler, and I've watched one of your episodes before. Familiar with you. We actually have a mutual friend through dating. Shout out to Brittany.
That's right.
Yeah. So we've been in similar circles, so to speak. I was involved in wrestling for a period of time. We never crossed paths, but I know I heard your name at some point, and then you know when I dated Brittany, she had mentioned you, and I said, "Oh, that's funny," because he's working with a friend of mine. I gotta stop waving my hands.
It's completely fine. Audio-only listeners, they're not affected by it at all.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank God.
I mean, some people like to watch the video, but some people just really like to listen to the audio. So your hands moving makes no difference to the audio listeners.
So, I'm familiar, and I'm super excited to be a guest on today. That's for sure.
I definitely want to ask you because I think you've told me, but I constantly forget things. But what involvement with wrestling did you have? What was the?
I was involved as a producer, business, whatever. And then I also was like, so it's, I guess it all started years and years ago. I met somebody. I used to run a video game store, and I met somebody in my store who said, "Hey, listen, you should be in wrestling. You're really good at talking." And I was like, "Oh, that's a weird thing to say. Like, you know, I love wrestling. I don't know if I'd be involved. I wasn't in kind of any physical shape to be involved in wrestling." And I was kind of like, "Oh, okay. Well, no, like, I appreciate it. I don't think I would." I was like, "But my best friend is a trained professional wrestler." And the guy was like, "Oh, really?" And so my best friend, Johnny, hadn't been involved in a couple of years. And he was like, "Dude, I'd love to get back in. Like, let me back in." And so that's kind of how it started. We worked a couple charity shows.
Talk about this, right? You did ACPW, right?
Yeah. And then we got into ACPW, and that's where I kind of like shifted gears from like being like kind of Johnny's manager to being like more backstage, taking a business role on certain things, and helping produce and run the shows, creating storylines, trying to add matchups and handle different aspects of a wrestling company. So it was a lot of fun, man. But I still
what like faded you out of that? What kind of like
was well, ACPW, I think, is closed. I'm not sure. But we got involved. We were really having a hot run, I would say, for about a year and a half. And then I think things just kind of started to fall apart behind the scenes. And as often does, I think, in independent wrestling, is stuff kind of unravels. So, I don't like to get too into it. I try to focus on all the good aspects of my time in wrestling, and that it was a dream, and I got to fulfill so many of my dreams. I got to stand by my best friend, and he had killer matches on the card. You know what I mean? Like, he was doing awesome. I got to watch him, win titles and stuff like that. And it was for me, that was my greatest pleasure. You know what I mean? Like, that was to get involved with that. And it wasn't just my best friend. It was like the other guys on the card too. I became friends with, and still friends with many of them. And I think it's awesome to see their journey now, like after ACPW, is to see them go on and do great things. And I'm super proud of all of them. You know what I mean? Like, I really am. And to know that, like, even if I just had like a snippet in their history of wrestling, of their, you know, their careers could span the next 30 years. Some of these guys were young. Like, dude, if they even think of me in the lightest sense, like, remember that guy, Mark, he really pushed for me backstage or something like that. Or he was always telling me how good I was doing and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, that matters to me. I think the more positive impact of it is what I like to focus on. Yeah, because, you know,
similar hope, man.
I think don't pay shit. You know what I mean? Let's be real. Like, it didn't pay. You know what I mean? But it was a lot of fun, and I had a lot of fun. So,
yeah, man. I think really, like, independent wrestling should kind of go away. Like, it should go away. It's just that, like, it should be taken away from the people who are making it so that they can profit and you can sacrifice everything and get nothing.
Right.
So, like, time's up for those toxic, manipulative dirtbags, DNBs, as Ronda Rousey would say.
Yeah, I think it's I think when we talk about the wrestling businesses, it's so incredibly difficult too, as like a small promoter, to cut a profit and
screwing over the talent.
Yeah,
and it's, who are the reason that you're making any money at all?
Right, it's incredibly, I see wrestlers post about like promoters and stuff like that, and I understand it, but like as running as someone who was behind the scenes, knowing how close things were, it's an incredibly difficult task to run a wrestling organization.
I mean, there's an entirely wide spectrum of where crowds can come and like how to do the work to promote a show to make it actually draw.
Yeah, and it's tough. And
lots of places don't do that and just expect you to show up. Agreed. And put on your gear and put on the best match you can and take the scraps they give you.
Right. That's not okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's definitely not okay. Yeah. I think it's a grind, dude. I think it's a grind on both ends. It's difficult for sure. But like I said, I had a blast, man. I mean, I had, you know, people dive on me and kick me through chairs and my mother cried, which was hilarious. But I had a lot of fun. It was really great. I can't say enough about the guys I got to work with and how awesome they were. Super honored for my time in wrestling. And I've been asked to come back. I've had people reach out to me and when are you coming back? And, you know, I also physically changed. I lost 30 pounds and put on about 20 pounds of muscle. And I got into really good shape now. And people are like, are you going to wrestle? I'm like, no, I'm not. No. I want to keep my body like this for the next 20 years.
Right. You don't want to go, oh, now it's in good shape. Let me put it in pain forever.
Yeah. You know, I'm good. Right. Yeah. No,
thanks. You keep that. You got to keep that.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's wrestling has opened the door to me looking at events as a business, and that's how kind of the Great Media Comic Con got started. So, yeah.
With Chris, right?
Chris Bristow, Sheik Mia, Kelly Collins. Yeah, we had some other members too. We've some other partners have left after the first year, and that's okay. You know what I mean? But we continue to grow and strive to get sharper and better. That's for sure. So
when partners leave, you change from calling them partners to calling them fartners.
No. Yeah, I listen.
Get out of here, you fartner.
Nah, I could never say anything bad about anyone that's left. I'm very proud of everybody and their hard work. Yeah. But we've had some partners, you know what I mean? it's a great experience, and it's not too dissimilar to wrestling. It's live shows, it's people in place, it's
less physical risk, but
yeah, less physical risk. Yeah. Right. Maybe longer hours, that's for sure. But it's fun, dude. I'll be honest with you. I absolutely love it. So
yeah, it's gotta be rewarding, you know.
Dude, it's incredible. I had I didn't even know he was there. Like last year when we ran our first event, I had someone who I went to high school with. I didn't even know he came or bought a ticket, mind you. He came and he goes, you know, we couldn't afford Disney this year, but I got to bring my son to your Comic-Con, and he got pictures with all these like Star Wars cosplayers, like the 501st Legion guys. And he goes, so basically you brought Star Wars to Delco for me, for my kid. He messaged me after. I had no idea he was even there. I didn't even see him. You know what I mean? Like, but it's that kind of stuff that kind of like, dude, this is pretty awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it, dude.
Impactful, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I really feel that very much. Considering, like, you know, I've told this story a million times on here, and I'll try to breeze through it. But yeah, when I was a kid, my mom took me to some like stunt show. It was a SeaWorld or something, and there was like cowboys in a shootout, and the cowboy that I liked the most, he had a black hat on and he was on top of the roof and he was shooting down and someone shot him and he fell off the back of the roof and I was crying. And I was like, I can't believe that was my favorite cowboy and he died. He's dead now. And my mom was like, oh, it's a show. He's not dead. They took me around the back because I was crying the whole time. They took me around backstage and I got my picture taken with that cowboy.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I remember how cool I felt. I still remember that now.
Yeah,
I was 3 years old, and I still have. That's a core memory that I have. So, like, I think about that when I perform, when I wrestle in front of crowds, and or if I interact with fans.
Yeah,
I think about that kind of stuff, or like take pictures with fans. I think about like what my presence might do to affect the growth of this person or the long-lasting memories of this person. So when you talk earlier about, like, you know, somebody would be like, hey, remember that guy and how he impacted me in this way or impacted me in that way? And like they get to whatever level they're going to get to and they remember, you know, they remember. I think about that, and I think about, like, appropriate to think about this right now because WrestleMania is this weekend. But I think about like one of the workers that I've worked with in the past.
Yeah.
Goes and has his WrestleMania moment and invites me. And he's like, well, yeah, of course I had to invite you because you were a major part. Like, you were a major influence in getting me here. Like, and I think there's been plenty of people who've come through. And I want to give myself a little pat on the back. And I'm not doing this in a arrogant way. But I feel like I've influenced people in a positive way that could professionally get them to whatever next level they want to get to.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being proud of your work, your hard work. You know what I mean? Especially if you know it positively influenced people. Like, I think that's.
I think
you always something. Be humble. Yeah, but sorry, go ahead.
Something that I find a level of pride in that I wouldn't have said it before because I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
But helping talent understand what feeling over feels like.
Right.
Like getting over and feeling like we have them. Like right. all the puzzle pieces lined up and this is exactly the way we want it to be. And like kind of like when you're studying to be an actor, they teach you like analysis of a script.
Sure.
I do that with analysis of ring psychology. I do that of analysis of card psychology, of like what's before us, what's after us, what are we going to do that's different than both of those things.
Right.
So I hope that those lessons that I've put on other talents have continued to influence them with whatever they do next.
Yeah. Are you going to tell me who's at WrestleMania that
Oh no! That wasn't. It was just hypothetical.
Oh, okay. It was completely. Yeah. Please tell me if you got a name, drop it. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that's happening this weekend, but I'm just saying
right.
It's appropriate because WrestleMania is this week that I'm having this wavelength.
Right. I get it. 100%. Yeah. No, I do. I understand it. When I worked in the game, I was literally just putting up posters the other day, and I'm out on McDade going door to door putting up posters because when you run a business, you do it all. You know what I mean? You don't just take a back seat to anything. You try to get out there as often as you can. And I'm the most Delco-centered person on the team, so I'm right here in media. You know what I mean? The Comic-Cons in media. I'll go put up the posters. I don't care. I'm very driven in that aspect, but I was putting up the posters, dude. I go to it's like an antique shop, right? Like, and I'm like, this lady's probably gonna tell me no, I don't want a poster in my window, you know what I mean? And that's okay. But I walk in and I go to put the poster up, and there's a guy standing there, and he looks at me and he goes, "Didn't you work at the video game store?" I say, "Yeah," and he goes, "I'm Mike's dad." And I was like, "Mike and Mike." And he said, "Yeah." And we start cracking up. And it was like, dude, Mike was, he was a dude he's a super sweet guy, man. And he was struggling to find a job. And he used to come into the game store and just hang out with me. And we talked for a couple hours. You know what I mean? And it was like, to know that like you can positively influence someone like that and they'll remember you. Dude, it's been years since I've seen this guy. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. That stuff is awesome. You know what I mean? That stuff is awesome. I love it.
Yeah. I have to, I kind of want to like get to a point right now where I'm like, sort of like a self pep talk at this moment. Mm-hmm. And I'd hope this go for anybody else who needs it. There's just recently. So it's been 1 month since I've recorded a show, right? Okay. I let all my scheduled shows come and go. Like, so I ran out of podcast episodes to come out on the feed.
Okay.
And that was because, and I don't want to get into too many details, but this is a time capsule in my life. Like me recording these shows is certainly something I want to continue to have as a memory. But somebody who I thought was a very dear friend of mine in the wrestling business portray me in a way that is like the way you'd feel the drama of a heel turn, but in real life.
Gotcha.
So I kind of fell off, kind of like lost a little bit of confidence.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I'm sorry, because who am I sorry to? Right.
Right.
So like I got to the point where I'm tired of apologizing for stuff I'm not sorry for. And I'm not taking any blame for anything that isn't my place to take it, you know? And that's a oath that I've recently made to myself is to no longer say I'm sorry. If I can replace I'm sorry with excuse me, I'm going to. right? So like, even when someone's trying to like nudge past you, or you're trying to nudge past somebody, I don't ever say I'm sorry, because for sure, I feel like that is in the pattern of apologizing for your existence and for the space that you occupy. I think that I'm not sorry. Excuse me. That's it.
Yeah.
Sorry that we're in each other's path.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I get it, dude. I think at the end of the day is you can't let someone steal your peace. You know what I mean? And I think that's I could just kind of tell is I've gone through something pretty similar very recently with someone I consider very close to me, and they're in complete denial about it. And it's a shame. It's a shame when you try to reach out to someone and you offer them a life raft multiple times, and it's they just do not – they accept it under the guise that it's to continue to manipulate the situation. And at a certain point, I'm pretty standard about my life. Is you're not going to mess with certain things in my life. And I learned in the past 2 years, I went through a very life-changing situation where I wasn't as always motivated as I am now. Now I'm like laser-focused. It's very difficult to rock the boat, so to speak.
Infinite motivation?
Yeah. We'll get to that. So that word has come around in my life multiple times. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, at the end of the day, someone like that is out to steal your peace because for whatever reason is they hate you and you're not sure why. And it's
and they might not even mean it on purpose. Like they're just envy. There's envy
intrinsic about them because they don't have the same reason why you do. And when you have that why and that compass in your life, can't be swayed. So don't worry about this other individual because they're going to continue to do this to others and it'll just continue on their path unless they're able to identify that pattern in their life. Most aren't. They're in denial about it. They don't want to admit it. They never do anything wrong. It's your fault. It's always your fault. It's someone else's fault.
You know what I mean? I've noticed, and I thought I was kind of immune. I thought we were close enough friends that I was kind of immune to it.
Sure.
But I saw this person turning on almost everybody in life and everybody in the wrestling business and having it be that person's a problem, that person's a problem, that person's a problem. I didn't know that he was going to make me the problem when everybody else is the problem. You know, it's
right back
at yourself.
Yeah, it's usually indicative of a lack of integrity. And that's not something that's like, and I say to
indicative
people, like,
with a capital dick.
Yeah, is at the end of the day is when someone lacks integrity and they're not able to look at their life as a whole and admit their wrongdoing, and that's an issue, especially if you're in a leadership position. You owe it to yourself. Yeah, you owe it to yourself, your partners, your business partners, or the people underneath you to be able to take criticism and reflect upon it. And if you're unable to, life is going to suck. You know what I mean? Life's going to suck. You're going to lose the good people that are willing to tell you the truth and surround yourself with fake people that are going to pat your ego. And that's it. You're not going to have people that are really going to tell you the honest truth.
Right. Like I had a conversation where he said, what do you think about this idea? And then I said, well, I don't like it. I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to do it. I don't like it. And then he was like, you can't complain. You're in all the main events, blah, 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 blah. You've been in the main events for years and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you can't tell me I'm complaining when you asked me how I feel about it.
Right. Yes.
That's gaslighting, brother. That is gaslighting that's the definition of it.
Yeah. So what did you want your answer to be? You know what I mean?
Right. You want me to go, oh, I like this thing that I clearly shouldn't like.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
The important part was I'll do it. I'll be the team player. I will always be a team player. That's
right.
Not going to go anywhere. I lead by example. So if I refuse to do something and then it doesn't happen, like that's just showing, you know, like a poor sportsmanship.
Yeah. No, I get it. So the momentum word is, someone asked me this the other day. All right. So literally, you're not the only person who brought it up, but I'll never forget. My sister had a boyfriend. He had a shirt. He didn't fit in anymore. And I got it because I was really skinny when I was little. And it was like the Momentum skateboard brand. And I was like, man, I love that word. I love that word. And so I kind of created like a superhero character. And then I was, you know, I play a lot of wrestling video games. All right. So I had a whole character who was a wrestler and his name was Momentum was his nickname. I came up with my own finish. I mean, dude, oh yeah, I went overboard, dude. It's crazy.
What video game was this that you're?
Oh, dude, I started back in No Mercy.
That's the best one.
I know, but I mean, I literally started all the way to No Mercy. He's made it all the way. I think I stopped making him after I realized I was spending like 6 hours creating a character. And I'd spend so much time tweaking the moves, and it was like, dude, this is so ridiculous.
I did that on No Mercy. My character's name that I made on No Mercy was Charlie Glucose.
Charlie Glucose.
Yeah, I just looked at the side of a Gatorade bottle.
Glucose.
I don't know why Charlie, but that was the guy's name.
Okay,
it was like my favorite edit. You know. Custom create a wrestler character.
Oh, yeah. No, that's awesome. But yeah, I continued it for a long time. Then I was in the military for about 6 years. When I was in basic training, you'd write letters or whatever back home. And I would take that time and I would write. And I started to write stories about Momentum as a superhero. And I wrote it on Legal Pad. And I'll never forget, dude, because we'd have history classes too at like, dude, 7 o'clock in the morning, and you're fighting to stay awake. And so it would look like I'm taking notes, but here I am writing a story. Drill sergeants, I think they didn't know, but they were like, but dude, it was a great way for me to fight falling asleep in a chair. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
dude, right, yeah.
And I was so bored, and I was like falling asleep. I would get through and I'd write these stories, and I wrote it for a couple years. And then when I was overseas, in Kuwait, I basically typed out the first one. I rewrote it, and then I rewrote the second one. And I actually have them. My sister got them for me as a Christmas gift. I know for the audio listeners, you can't see it, but I have my books in like That's a beautiful awesome. Book format. Yeah, so I've got both of them like that, which is pretty cool. That was a pretty awesome Christmas gift. I was very surprised. So
have you thought about publishing them?
Yeah, but I need to write the third one. And it's literally, how do I put this, Corey, is the third one is so effing incredibly difficult to write. And there was a time, like, I don't drink anymore. And I used to get like, dude, I used to have to get drunk and try to, like, you know, Ernest Hemingway this thing, because it was so... It's just not an easy book. It's full of heartbreak, and it's like the hardest sub. You know what I mean? It's like tough, really tough, dark subject matter. And I'm not used to writing like that. Like, I can write on the tinge of darkness, but there's always like hope. And this is more like, no, hope is gone now. Like, this is the third book. It's kind of like The Dark Knight Returns or whatever. Not, no, the third one. Dark Knight Rises. Like, it's a pretty dark movie, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty dark movie. And it's like, sitting there writing that it's been difficult for me. I get like 3 or 4 pages in, and then I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Are you open to suggestion, unsolicited advice?
Sure. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, it's been years since I sat down and wrote, and it's I know how it goes. Does that make sense? Like, I have it plot pointed everything, but go ahead.
Don't let the obstacle of not having a third one written be the reason you don't release the first two.
I, That's fair. That's very fair. I've been yelled at many a times. Yes.
Oh, I'm not yelling at you.
No. But other people are like, dude, why don't you do this? No, I mean, you're right.
I mean, if you make excuses for anything, you'll make excuses for everything.
Dude, agreed. I try not to make excuses except for my writing.
That's the excuse me on this excuse.
Yeah. I feel like. But no, I agree. I've got a friend who he's been published a couple times. Great science fiction writer. Writes some of the weirdest stuff I've ever read in my life. I don't know where he comes up with, dude. Crazy ideas. Crazy. I love him. He lives out in Hawaii now. His name's Tom Gamarino. You can look him up. Every time we talk, he always says the same thing to me. He goes, look, like, what's it going to hurt? What's it going to? And I said, I know. But he's always been supportive of me. And, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I'm busy and I don't know if I want to go back there. Does that make sense? I don't know if I want to turn around and be author Mark too. I feel like I wrote those books and I have a lot of pride in them, but it's not necessarily something that I need to go and get published at this point. I might reflect on that in 5 years and go, I'm going to go get it published. But you know how we evolve. So.
Indeed.
Yeah. No, I dabble more in writing poetry now from time to time. So I enjoy that. But yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. You ever wrote a book?
I started writing an autobiography when I was, but it was so long ago that I kept going like, I want to come back to this when I have like an ending that's important, or I have some like a happier tale to tell, because I think at that point it was just me being young and bitter and angry and frustrated, and me just kind of like trying to get out my frustration in my words.
Yeah,
and I was probably 22 or something. I was young, and I was just complaining. Yeah. So now 20 years later, go back and
read that. Right.
I could maybe go back and read that and like edit a little bit here and
there. Dude, that's the worst part about writing. I tell people that. I was like, dude, is you go back and you read your own stuff, and you're like in constant edit. Constant edit. I was like, oh yeah.
I have like a collection of what are those books? The
compendiums?
No, the
compilations.
The black and white covers. Composition.
Yes.
I have a handful of composition notebooks filled with, and I think this was probably after like a little bit after I read Mick Foley's book, and he was like, oh yeah, I'm just writing this on pad and paper. And I was like, well, oh, that's cool. That's what I'll do.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I literally wrote the first two books on legal pad. And then we were coming back from training one day and my buddy was dropping me off and we accidentally forgot the second book was on top of his car. Mm-hmm. And he drove off and I lost it. So I had to rewrite the entire thing. It was better. I'll tell you that. It was much better the second time around. I'm like, dude, I'm kind of glad we lost it. And he was like, why? I was like, the first edition was terrible, but it's in some gutter right now, somewhere in Drexel Hill. So
I think this is a lesson. This is a lesson sure, right here.
Yeah.
And this is something I always say about like, you know, in the first board of Super Mario, when you're playing and that like first guy kills you the first time you're playing.
Yeah.
And then you get the second chance and you go and you kill that guy right away and he doesn't get you and you get to move on in the level. I take that as like the second time you're going to do better than the first time. The experience is the best teacher.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Failure is not the end. It's just the beginning.
Success practice.
Yep, it's true. Failure's not
the cliche-est cliche things that we can say.
Yeah, but it's true. It doesn't mean it's any less true. But yeah, I mean, dude, that's it's you know, wrestling taught me a lot. The failures, the successes about kind of getting into the event space, and now the Great Media Comic Con. I mean, literally, just last night, we found out that we made PA's top 20 things to do in April, which is crazy.
What was the what number? What was the number?
We were lucky number 13.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. What was 12?
I could go back and bring it up.
No, I was just gonna do the thing where what was 12? What was 14?
Yeah, like, yeah. Hold on one second, Corey. yeah, I mean, I briefly looked at them. Some of them were like flower shows and some other stuff, just cool stuff around the state. But I was kind of, dude, we were taken back. It was not something we had like intentionally, you know, reached out to try to get placement on or anything like that. Like, this is like pretty groundbreaking, especially with like Steel City Con is going on like the same weekend in Pittsburgh. I don't know if you know anything about comic book events, but Steel City Con is huge. You know what I mean? Like, they're huge. It's a big convention. And that's why I was like, I'm blown away that this little con with 30 vendors out in Media, Pennsylvania is getting this kind of traction. You know what I mean? Like, we're kind of getting this attention. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty substantial. And I'm super proud of everybody for how we work on it.
For probably the last 5-6 years, I've been performing at conventions.
Yeah.
Like doing the cosplay pro wrestling.
Oh, so like, you're friends with my buddy, Mike Goldstein. That's my guy, man.
Yes.
That's so my guy. Mike is my guy.
I do Aquaman on
Okay.
On his cosplay pro wrestling shows. Okay. I had Mike on the show like a couple months ago.
Okay.
So if you want to go back and listen to that episode, you can.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah. Oh, dude, I love him
talking about conventions. Yeah. And
I always pick on him when he does his weightlifting videos, and he's like benching 340 pounds. You know what I mean? Dude, just obscene amounts of weight on his deadlift. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, why don't you just like actually pick up some real weight or something? You know what I mean? This guy's like, he's deadlifting 600 pounds and he's over here squatting 450 pounds. And I'm laughing. I'm like, dude, hey, this is lightweight to you. Come on, Mike. Like, pick it up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like Mike a lot.
Everybody, man, come see how cool I am.
Yeah, 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 dude.
Look at his waist. Look how cool.
Dude, he's a strong, big, strong boy. Yeah, that's for sure.
I knew Mike since he was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I knew Mike. I met Mike when he was 17, I think. I was already in the business for a while.
Okay.
He was training under a friend of mine, dude named Jojo.
Okay.
In Vineland. That's how I met Mike, probably 12 years ago.
Okay. So. Yeah, Mike worked me and Johnny's first show, him and Flex, and then
Flex Wheeler? Flex Wheeler?
No, Flex Confidence. His real name's James. Okay. Jack, dude. I mean, if you saw a picture of him, you'd be like, this dude he's jacked to the gills. Nice guy. But I remember working with Mike and
you'd have to be jacked to have the name Flex Confidence.
Oh, dude.
Like, if you were a flabby dude with the name Confidence.
Dude, that would be actually kind of hilarious in a cringy.
It'd be a funny delusional gimmick.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a gimmick.
Like, built like Bastion Booger. You know what I mean?
I've wanted to do a gimmick since like 2005. I was pitching this idea to do. I don't think I want to do it, but I want to see somebody do it. A gimmick where they're just always a pathological liar, and they get fact checked, and they just go, nah, no. And they like,
that's like, hilarious.
They try to live in a world where like you can't easily Google something and fact check them.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They just make up how much like, they won. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you know? What do you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That'd be funny. That'd be funny.
That's the catchphrase. What do you know?
That'd be great. What do you know? Google it then. Go ahead. You're gonna believe the guys on Reddit? You know what I mean? me and Mike worked together early on, back in the when we were working the charity show stuff. I don't think he liked me too much. That was my first impression of him. Because, you know, he can kind of have that quiet demeanor. And mm-hmm. you're like, I don't know what this guy's thinking. And, we worked together then. And then I brought him into ACPW I wanted to bring him in as, like, the top heel. And he was, dude. He legit, I think that summer, he was our champion. He was, dude. He must have been champion in two other places. He was like GTS champion. I'm trying to think of the other place that he was, dude. I'm terrible at this. But there was another company he was world champion at. Like, that was his summer, dude. He had a hot summer there where I was like, dude, you're the hottest heel on the East Coast right now. How do you feel? He'd be like, I don't know. He's always so humble. You know what I mean? He's like, he's like, whatever. Whatever. But yeah, dude, he was brilliant. Dude, he's a smart guy. I like working with Mike a lot. He was always fun. Yeah, had a good time with him. Hairy, sweaty bastard, though, you know?
Very much.
He would just walk out there and be, like, dripping. But
I don't think him and I have wrestled each other. I mean, what? besides practice.
Right.
Since I'm going to guess, like, 2010, probably.
You guys should make that happen.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you guys should make that happen and blow that feud up for like a year. You know what I mean?
Like this long-running feud that dates all the way back to 2010.
Yeah. Dude, that's a great idea, man. The captain of the ship versus the ever-evolving Corey Castle, you know? You could change your hair every month.
Change my hair?
Yeah, every month.
Why?
You're evolving.
Oh, so the hair.
Like a Pokemon. Yeah, I don't know. Dude, I'm just throwing shit against the wall. See what sticks.
Right. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, dude, we'd love to incorporate wrestling at some point in the comic. We gotta get bigger. The Comic Con. That's for sure. But like this year we've got like Back to the Future coming. That's our theme. We're doing we've rented the media theater. We're going to do a Back to the Future themed night where basically you can come in, watch the movie. There's going to be a DeLorean sitting out front of the theater you can take pictures with. Claudia Wells, who played Jennifer Parker from the movies, coming in. She's flying in. She's just, so you can do a Q&A session. It's going to be an absolute blast. It's going to be sick. Very excited.
What do you think people are going to ask her?
I would like to see someone ask, how is it like working with Eric Stoltz for like 2 weeks? You know what I mean? Because that was the big switch. Is Eric Stoltz?
I wonder like what people thought, like, is this movie going to be big? Like, is it like,
right.
And then like, how did the temperature change when that Marty McFly got recast? Like that's something.
Sure.
It would be an interesting question to ask.
I've had a lot of people kind of like, oh, are you going to ask that? I'm like, I'm not going to ask that. You can buy tickets and ask that. Yeah. Like, you can be asked that. It's an open forum. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And then we've got Delco, the movie, the trailer, which is like they're making a movie about Delaware County out here. And it's a very Kevin Smith-esque film from what I've been told.
Yeah, I just met that Chris dude.
Chris Piedemonico, yeah.
Yeah, I just met him. Bristow introduced me to him like 2 weeks ago or something.
Oh, okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's awesome, man. So yeah, we're going to be doing the trailer at the movie event. I'm super stoked.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. That's rad, dude.
Yeah, man. Pretty excited. Delco's never had a movie experience event before. They have film festivals, but they don't have anything like this. You know what I mean? Like where you can go in and it's like, an experience as opposed to just watching a movie.
I was in Delco this morning. My girlfriend lives in Ridley.
Oh, snap. Okay.
So yeah, I'm back and forth. Ridley. I live in Bucks County.
Okay.
I live in Bucks County. She lives in Delaware County.
Okay.
I just go back and forth, back and forth. She goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
Eventually that's going to change.
Yeah.
Sooner than later, I'm sure.
Okay. Are you moving here or is she moving there? Oh, you're going to be a Delco transplant, huh? You're going to have to say water weird and get used to eating on Wawa trash cans.
Well, that Wawa, that Wawa is, there is just so many children at that Wawa. Like any time I've ever been, it's like, it is like the young punks of Delco.
Yeah.
Right. And on the trash cans at that Wawa. Yes. Anytime I'm there.
Yes. Are you talking about the one in Ridley, the big one?
Yeah, the one right next to the train track.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just there. Yeah.
I was just there this morning as well.
There you go. Did you see our sign by the bathroom? There was a sign. I got it up.
I didn't use the bathroom, so.
My gosh. Unbelievable.
Well, I'll make sure to go next take time. A picture of it. When I'm there next, I'll
do go that. There. Yeah.
And
that's awesome. I'll
tweet it.
Yes, I'm familiar with that area very well, man. I've dated a few girls from Ridley myself. I lived in Morton for a while, which is like a town right next to it. Mm-hmm. A little.
I know Morton Avenue, right?
Yeah, it's the same place, dude. Mm-hmm. Morton's like you can trip and you'll walk right over the whole town. So. Yeah, it's small, but it's Ridley's nice, dude. Ridley's a nice area.
Yeah, man. They're opening up a new gym nearby. I'm trying to go to that because I guess they're building it now. It's like near. I'm not sure exactly where the music school that she works at is. It's like called Let There Be Rock. She's a vocal teacher, like singing lessons. Do you know where that is?
I literally was just by there the other day at Comic Universe for a comic book signing. I meant to stop over and see if they put up a poster for me.
Well, my girlfriend's one of the singing teachers there.
Oh, cool. I've gotten in. Yeah, there we go. Awesome, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah. But right next door, she just sent me a video of like the gym opening up next door. And I was like,
oh, I cool. saw that. I forget what the name of that gym was too.
It made me curious.
Yeah, dude, there's a bunch of, I just found one called the Wolf Pack or something like that in like Brookhaven. I had never heard of this gym. Beautiful though. Beautiful set. I was like, okay, this is nice. But
I just worked out
a lot of, go ahead.
I just worked out at Iron Sports. That's a great gym.
A lot of I know a lot of big bodybuilders that work there. Yeah, they put in the work there. That's their spot.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, but it's like $70 a month, and that's a little
price range. Yeah. I get it. Yeah, awesome.
But it is 24/7, so.
Sure. Yeah. And you'll get the meatheads that'll be in there, give you all the kind of good advice you could possibly get to get as jacked as humanly possible. So
yeah,
you're like get big,
dude. Meatheads are my people. I don't know if meatheads are also your people, but the type of people I think that like. Into evolving and bettering themselves and all that sort of thing. Like I don't know. I carry a gallon jug with me everywhere I go. Meatheads are my people.
Yeah, no, I get it. I don't say it derogatively. You know what I mean?
No, of course not. No.
I built a gym in my garage, dude. You know what I mean? So I get it. Yeah. I built a full gym in my garage. So
yeah, I don't take it derogatory.
Yeah. No. I just they know. You know what I mean? They know.
Yeah. So, I'm proud of it.
Yeah. I follow the culture. Awesome, man.
I'm not like a fitness influencer though. I don't post videos of me working out.
Yeah.
Maybe I should. But
yeah, why not?
I feel like kind of like I don't know how long ago you were in wrestling, but when I was coming up, you were were not supposed to be a mark. You weren't supposed to be a mark, even for yourself. Mm. Like when it comes to working out, it's just something you're supposed to do.
Sure.
Right. So like, it just is part of it. It's not like I have to make that anyone else's business. I just show up and do the stuff I'm supposed to do. Like that's kind of the way I was trained.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, maybe I'll break it one day, but I don't think so. I think also I'm not super confident when it comes to that sort of stuff.
Okay.
So like, I wouldn't somebody watch my shit and be like, look at that shit form, you know, look at that crappy form that he's got.
Yeah.
Like it works for me, bro.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's the great thing about fitness is there sometimes is it's not always about like, dude, if you ever watch like Jay Cutler, right? He's like one of the biggest bodybuilders of all time. Right. And he's a killer on social media. Like mm-hmm. he watches it and you watch him hammer curl and he's like, I have shit form. Mm-hmm. And you'll be like, well, why is that? And he's like, cause I can like at the, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. because it works for him. If it works for him, then they're like, okay, it's not. Yeah, you should try to strive, especially when you're like, you're not on his level. You know what I mean? But like at the same time, it's like, dude, it doesn't need to be perfect 100% of the time. It needs to be perfect, you know, 80% of the time. And when you're going to failure on anything, it's like, you know, it's not going to be perfect. You know what I mean? Like you ever shoot to failure, you know, it's going to be one leg's pushing better than the other or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's going to be stuff pushed out, so
especially when you cheat it at the end, when you start cheating them,
half repping, half reps are great, dude. I watched
I'm saying like that it makes me cringe to feel like I want people to see that, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
It feels like a certain level of vulnerability that I don't want to like share with people, really.
Oh, I get it. Dude, no one's forcing you to. Yeah, no, absolutely. I get it. Yeah. I mean,
I could manufacture it to make it so that it's not like it's just for show. Ones that I'm doing just for show, but then what's the point?
Right. No, I get it. Yeah, I understand that completely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I take like stills. I don't do video too often because I suck at it. But I did video myself. I tried to do a sledgehammer workout, and I bought the sledge, and it was too heavy. I bought a 30-pound sledgehammer to start with, and that was a huge mistake, bro. Bro, I didn't know. I bought it. I got it. I said, "Damn, this thing's big." Went outside. I had some cinder blocks. I'm like, dude, let's crush some shit. Swung, miss. Yeah, I videoed it. I put it up too. It was kind of funny, but it was like, I'll tell you what though. I think I swung a total of like 6 times, and I was done, dude. My whole up here was like, dude, you're done. And this is after a back workout. I was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't finish with this. This is just, unless I get like a 15-pound sledgehammer. You know what I mean? I'm like. Yeah, just the 30-pound sledge was that was brutal.
Yeah, just get a 10.
Just dude, I don't know what I didn't think, you know what I mean? Like when I ordered it, I was like 30 pounds. I'm like, oh, with the handle, and I was like, I'll be fine. And I got it, and I was like, holy crap, this poor Amazon driver lugging this thing up the stairs. But
it was just outside at the curb.
He did. Dude, this guy didn't. Dude, he has a flight of stairs, and he has, like, dude, at least, like, I don't know, half a football field to walk up to get to my apartment. So I'm, like, laughing. I'm like, he had to drag this thing. That's great. I was like, poor guy. But
do you know Matt?
Matt.
I forget how to say his last name. He's Chris Bristow's podcast partner.
Friend? Yeah, Matt Bucherell. Yep.
Yeah. Have you done stuff with the Hunted and all that stuff.
Yeah, like his podcast. Frank Percy's one of my business partners. Yeah.
Oh, nice, cool, man. It's small world, sort of.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Everything is making more sense, more and more sense all the time.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Well, listen, is there anything else we think we could cover?
I was going to ask you just a few more things, and then I'll send you with a hot dog and a handshake. And
sure.
Let you continue to evolve on your own.
Sure.
So having been guests on podcasts and being interviewed by people and having conversations that were like on the record, where like you're sharing stuff that people could, be influenced by in any way. Mm-hmm. What's something that maybe you've never been asked before that that maybe you'd want to be asked?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, that's a good question. I guess it would be like, where do you see this in 5 years? You know what I mean? Like, where do you see this? And no one's really asked me that. They all kind of anticipate that it's going to be in the same place. And I don't like to I don't like to show my cards too much. But with that being said, I do envision this con getting much, much larger next year. I do envision that. And I would love to grow this movie experience stuff quite a bit. That's never been asked on the on any podcast. It's like, well, what else do you want to do? Because we aren't just a Comic-Con company. We can kind of do whatever we want. We're an event company. We started out doing Comic-Cons because, well, we're all passionate about it. And I've been to a lot of them. So I've been to a lot. I think I'm up to like 28 now. So I've been to quite a few of them, and I definitely enjoy this entire space. I definitely think we're going to grow. And what that means for the Great Media Comic-Con, I'm not sure. And I'm not saying that this is like the end of it at all, or I'm not even indicating that in the least bit. You know what I mean? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we will probably be needing a bigger building. You know what I mean? Like where we are now, it's small, it's tight. And we anticipate as we evolve and grow is you'll need a bigger space. You know what I mean? Like anything else is like a butterfly has got to be able to fly. So we're going to need that space. That's where I see this. Yeah. And I see us doing multiple events a year and working on different things. And yeah, I mean, I think having a positive impact in the Delaware County community is really important for me. So,
we're talking about stuff that's important. Something that's very important to me is to have conversations on the record. And like I said earlier, this is like a time capsule in my life.
Right. Yeah.
Like, so like, it's not just called Evolving with Corey Castle because that's my name. Like, it's not just because I host the show, it's because I'm documenting my evolving.
Right.
So if you were to join me in the first episode and listen to this 330th episode, you'd hope that I had evolved since then.
Sure.
A completely different person.
Grow. Yeah.
So I like to have these conversations on the record. With that being said, I just want to say how grateful I am, the currency of your effort and your attention. And I look forward to whatever your growth is. And I hope to be any kind of positive resource or influence that I can be. If you ever have any questions, you need a friend, if there's any resources that you might need, just to like spitball ideas, or if you just feel like that you need a friend and you just need to talk to somebody, you have my number.
Yeah, awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Corey. And you know, obviously you're very much invited to come on out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think I think the 12th was the day that Chris originally gave me. And okay. then I think he said, like, then he was like, oh, never mind, can't do it. I was like, okay, never mind. Then I booked some events for myself that I'm doing that weekend. So,
oh, okay.
So it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't even aware about that conversation. Yeah.
I would definitely come out in the future for sure.
Yeah. But, for sure, man.
Johnny Necro.
Yeah.
I just had him on my show.
Yes.
Recently, and he drew me in his latest comic book.
He'll have
that at the Great Media Comic Con.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can see me as a comic book character in the new Johnny Necro book.
Love it, dude. Johnny Necro's amazing guy, and he's such a handful. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's a real character. I love it.
We call him the Wild Man of the Con. That's what we call him. He's our wild man. Yeah, yeah. He's great. He's awesome. Well,
with what we were just saying, I just want to say to you, right now is your platform, your opportunity to ask me anything you'd like to ask me or say anything you'd like to say to me that's going to be on the
record. Yeah. No, I mean, I just want to invite anybody that's listening is to come out to the Great Media Comic Con. It's April 13th and 14th. We're having the Back to the Future VIP movie event on the 12th. And if anybody wants to shoot up, you can obviously find us on Eventbrite. You can find us on Facebook. We've got a website, Great Media Comic Con. Yeah, you can find us. It's pretty easy. So we're everywhere. Come out. It's a lot of fun. It's a family-friendly event. You'll have a blast. And you can see your guy, Corey Castle, in a comic book at Johnny Necro's table. So,
so all right. Now, we can put the pitch down.
Yeah.
For just a sec.
Sure.
I do this segment towards the end of every show where I say I call it audio time travel, right?
Okay.
So when you said earlier, where do you see the con in 5 years?
Sure.
I want to say, where do you see yourself? Not really that exact question, but let's say somebody stumbles across this media, this audio, this video. Watches this episode in 2044. And they're the people who love you the most, the people who care about you the most, your family listens to this. You're speaking directly to them in 2044 as an audio time capsule. What messages are you saying to them in the next 30 seconds to a minute?
Yeah, I hope I make you proud. You know what I mean? I know you're proud now, but I hope 5 years from now that you're even more so. And when I told you I would do it, I meant it. I meant it. And, you know, of course, there's a pop-up on my screen as I go into this. I think that's the honest truth is like, hey, listen, this path, you guys rode alongside of me and to my ride or dies. And you know who you are is thank you for always being there. And we did it.
Hell yeah. Do you do any impressions at all?
Do I do impressions?
Yeah. Do you have any
impressions? Of my mother? Yes. I do impressions of my mother.
Okay. Let's pretend everybody in the world knows who your mom is. So
they do. She's the queen everybody. Of
yeah. Uh-huh. The crew of Delco.
Yeah.
So we'll jump back to that one second, but right now, this is the way we wrap up every episode.
Sure.
I would say in your very hypothetically, I've gifted you this show. This being the first episode, the pilot episode of your new podcast, Evolving with Mark. What's the very in a very Jerry Springer's final thought type way? What's the most like accurate way to wrap everything up in a pretty bow and send people home inspired to be a better version of themselves tomorrow?
Oh, I think it goes right back to how we started in our conversation about not necessarily how we started, but like about midway. I would say don't let people steal your dreams, no matter who they are. Don't let people steal your dreams. And those people that do try to steal your dreams, push them away. Get away from them as fast as possible. And don't give them any credence in your life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, in your very best impression of the Queen of Delco.
Yeah.
When you say the way we wrap it up, the put a little period on it and say,
sure.
Be fun, have safe, keep evolving.
Mark, be fun, have safe, keep evolving. And stop being a pervert.
Thanks for doing this, man. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, no, man. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you, dude. Cheers.
Anybody who's listening to this, if this is your first time checking out the podcast, make sure you hit subscribe. Make sure you give as much support as you possibly can to Mark. Give the support to this channel. Give the support to this podcast. I'm not getting anything out of this except for hopefully adding some value to your life. So if I'm doing that, if you found this valuable to you in any way, please show your support. Hit that like button, subscribe, comment, get those algorithms up, because that's what we need to do. We need to constantly remind people to, call to action sort of thing. So get us some traffic, And if you ever feel like you need a friend, anybody listening to this, if you ever feel like you need a friend, you don't have anybody, my DMs are wide open. You can reach out to me anytime. I'm going to get back to you. I'm a real guy. I'm not too cool to talk to you. So,
So
for sure, come to me with whatever is on your mind, and I'll give you my honest opinion. If that's something you'd be interested in, make sure you stay kind, be kind to others, be kind to yourself, be fun, have safe, keep evolving.
Show's over.